continue that dialogue. Let me just give you my impressions of Donna speaking and leave you with a thought.
So, I loved hearing from Don. He has some fascinating stories, and he speaks so well. It was a pleasure to listen to Don. And it reminded me that God saves us in many ways. The ones we notice are the physical ones, the ones that are most obvious to us. When he could have been killed many times, those are pretty obvious times when God interacted in his life. And yet, I feel like God interacts in our lives in many, many times. And we don't pay attention to most of them. Most of them we just assume he's going to be there. He speaks to us not just physically, but metaphysically, through our spiritual lives. Or when we're in turmoil and in trouble, he's always speaking to us. Don's stories reminded me that God is interacting with me and with all of us all of the time, in many ways. And I also was pleased to see Don get up and speak and remind me that I could get up and give a testimonial to all of you about how God is speaking to me at different times. And I hope his speaking will also encourage you to think about standing up here and telling all of us how God is working in your life. Thank you.
Thank you, Holton. So when one person speaks, then somebody else responds, and then the conversation continues between us and the Word of God. So thank you very much. Thank you for Don, and thank you for Holton as well. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And B found a version that doesn't say man. It says turning a person from the snares of life. As we prepare for Lent, let us commit again to fear God alone and trust God's promises for all the other fears that we may have. And you truly are a people who do trust God, and it's just such a pleasure to be with you this morning. Not just to be alone trusting God, but to be in a company of people that are trusting God as well. They say that bank tellers and those who trade in used luxury goods do not study the counterfeits. They accustom themselves to the touch, look, smell, and feel of the real thing. They train themselves with what is real, so that when they touch something that isn't right, whether it's a dollar bill, nobody would counterfeit a dollar bill, touch cash, or whether it's a luxury leather purse or whatever it is, they immediately know, there's something funny about this. And brothers and sisters, today is the Sunday before Lent, the Sunday we remember when God revealed the true identity and position of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration to three disciples. Let us take together faith in God into our mouths and our hands and our hearts and our community to savor it, so that when something that isn't faith and trust in God touches us, we immediately say, there's something funny about this. There's something funny about this. God seems to have created the world in such a way that he reveals himself in Scripture. It's so clear. It's so clear. But while we are living, we can't see what's going on. It's like a senior, like myself, talking on a cell phone, and someone says, "Give me that phone number," and you say, "It's in my phone. I can't access it while I talk to you, but as soon as I hang up, I'll send it to you." While you're in it, you can't know which buttons what to do, but you hang up, and then it's very clear exactly what happened. It would be impossible to finish thinking of all the different kinds of anxieties that we might have in our hearts. We would be here all day. Today, I want to think about five anxieties. And instead of the anxieties, I want you to think about the power of God over all creation, the power of God over all the circumstances of our life, the power of God over life and death of all creatures whom he has created, the power of God over our personal lives and hearts, and the power of God over the fulfillment of God's purposes. God did something like this when the Israelites were delivered out of Egypt. He sent them plagues that illustrated his power over the gods of Egypt, the gods of the River Nile, the gods of the Egyptian gods over light and darkness, the gods that controlled life and death. Each of the plagues told the power of God over something that they feared. Some of our fears are like the leftovers that may or may not be in your refrigerator in the back growing mold, that we have forgotten about them, but we encounter them suddenly in the dark. Some of our fears are like a sourdough starter that we feed regularly and we take from it and make something of it every day and keep it going with our active involvement. There are so many things that can grow wrong in a human life. When a tiny baby is born with various things, and you just think, wow, how is any baby born healthy? How can human beings live life? Our existence is quite precarious, and learning to trust God in the same way that was illustrated so clearly with David is not being able to put up the right defenses and wearing the right armor and being hard enough to face the evils and the malice and the uncertainties of life. It means letting our puny defenses down and surrendering to a life we cannot control because God is there. We are told over and over in the Bible to fear God, which means respect, have awe, recognize, honor, give priority to God. We are told in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Although God is supreme in power and knowledge and authority, we are not to fear him in the way that we fear a bully. But we fear and honor him without fear because God has made a promise to us, a covenant with us, and brought us into his household. And so I believe you have in your bulletin materials, some notes for the sermon, and this will list the five areas of God's power in our lives. And also each one will have a verse there. If you can look at it or not, as you prefer. The first one is, don't fear that the pattern of the earth rotating around the sun will be disrupted. So we can call this the zombie apocalypse. And you may not be afraid of this. Many children are, before they really are able to articulate what's going on. And it is a staple of the cinema. It seems people just can't stop making images of everything going haywire. Genesis 8:22, remind yourself of God's promise. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. After the horror of the massive flood, God promised that he would not bring another flood of that magnitude on earth. And he promised that he would maintain the cosmic order that sustained the daily, monthly, and seasonal cycle. Fear God who created and maintains the world. Second, don't fear when the contours of our physical environment change greatly. Maybe there'll be summer and winter, but a lot of things can be go bad in the world. Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains be shaken, God will allow the mountains to be shaken, and the hills be removed. Yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. A woman stood on her burned out property on Maui in Hawaii and said, I've lost everything. It is possible that natural disaster or war will bring down everything we know. Some of you have maybe already experienced that. God does not promise you will never face a disaster. God's promise to us is that even if the familiar world comes down, God's compassion and covenant will not be shaken away. Fear God, who has created and maintains the world and keeps his promises and commitments to us in every circumstance. The third one, don't fear that the world of living creatures, including yourself, is unprotected. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. No one sees or cares. I am utterly alone, we say. All the natural world belongs to God. There is no creature who does not have God's attention. Following that, you and I are known and cared for by God. Fear God, who holds all life and all death in his hands and who loves you. Fourthly, don't fear abandonment and loss of family or relationships. Psalm 27:10. Though my father and mother forsake me, yes, this is a possible scenario, the Lord will receive me. We say, I didn't have what I needed in life as a child. I could never learn to feel safe and well. God has established the significance not just of all living things, but specifically each of our lives, through his relationship with us. We learn and grow and thrive in relationship to others. And God is the beginning of those relationships. There are many foes and oppressors, but God is for us and not against us. Fear God, who is the most important companion in life, and who is faithful. Finally, don't fear that you will interfere with God's sturdy goodness and purposes. 2 Corinthians 13:8. For we cannot do anything against the truth. I think it's the other way around. We can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. This is what the coach says to you. Get out on the field. Get out on the field. If you are waiting to love God and your neighbor until you are fully prepared and sanctified, you will never do anything. Martin Luther said, sin boldly. And he didn't mean that it doesn't matter how much you hurt each other and hurt yourself as long as you mean well. He did not mean that. He meant, and he didn't mean, oh, it's already forgiven, so just go on ahead. It's been paid for. Take what you want. No. What he, that's, but he meant, that was Romans 6, 1 through 4. But he meant, yeah, everything we do is mixed up with self-interest. Everything we try isn't, doesn't turn out the way we hope it will. Everything we do is limited and flawed. But get out there and use all that God has given you to do everything you can to love God and your neighbor. Remember the parable, the person who buried their talent? I just have one talent. I really can't make a difference. I'll mess it up. Yeah, you're going to mess it up, but you better get out there and invest what you have. We are not here to build a resume of success and honors, but to live a life enjoying being with God and others as much as we are able to do. This same passage, 2 Corinthians 13, continues in verse 11, strive for perfection, agree with one another, live in peace. Fear God because God will accomplish his purposes while respecting our free will. We've stopped the elevator at 5 floors, and maybe some of them aren't your floors, so you didn't get out there. It may be that we haven't even mentioned the most debilitating fears that you have in your heart. In your heart, please be encouraged to name your fears before God, and then learn more about who God is and what God has said about those fears. Taste and touch and smell and feel what it is like to know God and to receive his blessing and what it means to be in fear of him. If we knew God better, our focus would be on God and not our fears. Amen.